for God's work and for God's hand. Amen. Amen. This morning, we want to turn to the word of the Lord now. And as we turn to our conclusion of our series, God's Love Is, grab your phones or grab your Bibles. We're going to look at the Word of God together. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures together this morning. And we're concluding. This was just a three-part series, God Love Is. We started with the foundation. God's love is what? Test time. Unfailing. Okay, that's the foundation for everything else. And because His love is unfailing, God's love is also what? Unconditional. And this is what we looked at, we began looking at last week. We'll look at it a little bit more this morning. So being assured of God's unfailing love gives us confidence and strength. Being assured of God's unconditional love keeps us in right relationship in our understanding of God, in our relationship with Him. These two are a little bit different, aren't they? So being assured of God's unfailing love gives us this confidence that we need. Understanding His unconditional love and being assured of that keeps us in the right type of relationship. What do I mean by that? Let me give you just a few scriptures. If we, for some reason, think that we qualify for God's love, or that we're pretty good and God's lucky to have us, and I must be not bad, and that's why God chose me, and that's why I am His child, then you and I will fall into the same trap that the children of Israel, who were chosen by God. And we looked at this last week, didn't we? And God said to the people through Moses, inspired words of Moses, He said, no, God wasn't because you were the greatest nation on earth. God chose you just because He loved you. And this is why God has chosen us. And so Moses, again, so God's love is unfailing. God's love is unconditional. And let me read to you from Deuteronomy 9, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 9. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you as they go into the promised land, do not say to yourself, the Lord has given me this land because we are such good people. No, it's on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. So here we see the principle already, right? It's not based on any other, on these other things. It's not based on something in ourselves. And if we get into that habit, we might get into the habit of performance-based Christianity. I've got to do. Or we might stumble in pride as the children of Israel did because they felt like we're God's chosen people. We're special. We are special because of God's love that is poured out upon us. The other temptation in this area, if we are not assured of God's unconditional love, is that when we're not perfect, when we have blown it, then we will feel guilty and condemned, and we'll feel like God's mad at us, God's angry at us. Because we live in a fallen and a broken world, there are many of us, many people, maybe you this morning, or many of us who, growing up, felt that you had to earn your parents' love and you earn your parents' approval, right? If you did well, your parents loved you and they approved of you. If you didn't do well, you were criticized and you weren't loved as much. And that's true in the human sense, but that's never true with God. God's love for us is unconditional. Parents, I've said this before, but let me say it again. One of the greatest gifts you can give to your children after leading them in the way of the Lord is to help your children, to give your children the confidence that they are loved no matter what they do. If they do well, if they do poorly, of course you want them to do well, but they are loved and they are accepted and they are part and they will always be loved, and that gives them the confidence. And in the family, that helps to build up things in their earthly life that will then reflect in their heavenly lives with their heavenly Father as well as they go. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, God loves us. Why? God loves us because of who He is. God is what? God is love. So God loves us because of who He is. Titus 3, verse 4 and verses 4 and 5. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And that word mercy is often used along with the same meaning of love. God, not because of our goodness. Brothers and sisters, when you and I can grab onto that and hold that in our hearts and lives, it sets us free. It lifts a burden off of us. It gives us such confidence as we go through our days with God our Savior. So God loves us because of who he is. He is love. And God loves us because of who we are, not because of what we do. His creation made in his image, his children. 1 John 3:1. I learned this verse. I memorized this verse when I was a small child, and we would quote verses 1 through 3. We memorized it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. We're the children of God. And so God loves us because of who he is. He is love. And God loves us because of who we are. We're his children. Amen? Amen. You know, we are, all of us, we are so familiar, if we know our Bibles even a little bit, we are so familiar with the story that we call the parable of the prodigal son, right? I need more water. I've been multitasking this morning, running up and down between second and fourth floors and third floors. But we are so familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. Do I need to? No, I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm drinking water. I was singing, drinking water, and now I'm preaching. I'm going to drink a little bit of water. When we're understanding the unconditional love of God our Father, the parable of the prodigal son is perfect. It's a perfect example for us. And a lot of times, you know, when we look at in our Bibles, if you turn there, it's even if your Bible has titles or subtitles, you will see that it's almost always titled the parable of the prodigal son, right, in our Bibles. But do you know what? This parable, although we identify with the prodigal son so often, this parable is not so much to talk about the son as it is to talk about the father and what the father's love is like. And this parable is about a father who loves a son who is ungrateful, unloving, selfish, and self-centered. And the younger son, we all know the story so well. His relationship with his father is transactional, isn't it? Give me what is mine. And the father gives it to him, though he does not have to. The son goes off and spends it all quickly in the wrong type of living. And he ends up in the pig pen, as we know, eating even what the pigs would eat, happy to have that. And then he thinks to himself of what it was like in the father's house, and he goes back. And when he's a long way off, remember the story, the father sees him and goes running to him. Here's an example of the father's love again. The son is not yet clean, is he? He's been in the pig pen. He's been traveling. He's hungry. His clothing, his robes, he probably is barefoot because the father says, quick, put some shoes on his feet. So he's been barefoot. He has been with the pigs. Those of you that have ever been around pigs before, you know what they smell like, don't you? And he is filthy. And the father in love, the father in unconditional love, runs to him, embraces him, brings him back in, and assures him of love. And so it's really about the father's love, even though, as I said, we identify with this younger prodigal. But, you know, this story, as we think about it, and you can read it in your Bibles, this also tells us so much about ourselves, because so often we're kind of like that younger prodigal son, but very often we're also like the older brother, aren't we? Because the older brother stays home, and when the older brother hears the rejoicing because the younger son comes in, the older brother is angry, and he's not even angry at his younger brother, right, who has abused his father's love. The older brother is angry at the father. And what does he say to the father? I've worked for you, and I've served you, and I've done all these things for you, and you've never even given me so much as a whatever. And as I was thinking about that, and I hope you're seeing that and thinking about this as well, the attitude of the older brother describes a person who also does not love, who also does not understand the unconditional love of the father. That older brother thought, I earn the father's love by staying here, by working for him, by doing that. And he feels, I've earned the father's love. And now look, he hasn't even given me a little goat to do that. Brothers and sisters, let us learn from the from this parable. It's really the parable of the father's unconditional love. And it covers over everything, and we don't have to earn it. On both sides, right? On both sides. You know, the younger son didn't really understand the father's love either, because he said to the father, let me come and let me just be a servant so he would have enough to eat. But for the father, because of his unconditional love, still this was his son. It did not matter that he was filthy and dirty and had thrown away and had wasted everything that the father had given him. He was his son. And the older brother also didn't understand, because it was transactional. And what does the father say to him? He says, son, everything I have is yours. The father loves us. Let us understand the unconditional love of our father. Amen? Amen, amen. Unconditional love. Finally, this morning, I want us to turn now to our last. We've looked at unfailing love. We've looked at unconditional love. And now we come this morning to our last main point. So God's love is unfailing. God's love is unconditional. Final one this morning, God's love is active. I wish I could have been a little more flowery in that, but that was the best word I could come up with. So we're going to talk about this morning as we look at this. God's love is active. Amen. Those of you, if you'll remember in the years past when we were able to, we had summer English camps up north. And if you'll remember, every year we had a theme about love, right? All sorts of things. And one of the years we had, one of our themes was love in action. Do you all remember that? So I'm thinking back, I think that's one of our early ones. And I'm pretty sure Chris designed the logo. I don't know if he remembers or not, because he's designed some for us. Jocelyn has designed some for us. But those of you that remember that were part of the camp, you'll remember that our picture, so that was our theme, love in action, and our picture for that theme, that summer camp, was a big heart, as it always was. We always had a heart, and the big heart had hands coming out like that. Do you remember that? Had these hands coming out, and it's a perfect example of what we're talking about this morning. God's love is active. So here's this heart that always represents love, but it shows hands coming out, because hands do something. Hands work. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a story that I read a few years ago online, of course, and it was about a Western couple who had left their homes. I don't know if they had any kids or not, but they left their homes in the West, and they left their jobs, and they decamped to Thailand. And they said, we're going to spend our time in Thailand. And because of the culture there, because of the religion there. And you know what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We know that song, right? And they said, the world needs love. And so we're going to stay here in Thailand and meditate. And we're going to send love out into the universe. That's what they were going to do. And I was thinking about that yesterday as I was preparing and working on preparing this message for today. And, you know, I laughed when I read it the first time, and then I was kind of sad, because if you go sit under a tree or in a temple or something like that, and then here I am and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to send the love force, the love energy out into the universe, because people need love, what earthly good does that do? It does no good, doesn't it? It does no good, because love must be seen in action. Love, to be love, is expressed. And so as we talk about the love of God, God is love, but his love is active. So what is God's love like? Is it just sort of a powerful love force? Well, if you look at some verses, is this what it's like? Look with me, Psalm 33:5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. And that's not just one verse. If you'll read through Psalms, you'll see this verse, you'll see this expression in several different places, in several different verses. So does this mean that God's love is just kind of floating out there around in the universe? I don't really think that's what it means at all. When the writer says the earth is full of his unfailing love, I believe what he's saying is there are expressions of God's love seen in the universe, everywhere in the universe. So let's look at some verses. Don't take my word for it. Let's take God's word for it, right? Ready? So here we are. I'm just going to give you three verses right now, and then we're going to look at some more. God's love is active. Ready? Here we go. First one, Psalm 42:8. This is a great one. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Isn't that a great verse? By day, the Lord directs his love. Now, this is my interpretation. I can imagine, it's my interpretation. Can't you imagine God saying, this person, my child needs help. Love, go, my love, help them right now. This person is slipping. Let my love keep this person from slipping right now. This person is fearful. May my love go and surround their hearts and drive out all fear. Because what? Perfect love drives out all fear, right? And perfect love is whose love? God's love. So God directs his love by day, and at night, his song is with me. Okay, here's another one. So God's love is active. It's not impersonal. It's personal. It's very personal. Look at this one. We're going to come back to this one again a little bit later. Psalm 94:18. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. Isn't that a beautiful expression of God's active love? Of God's active love for you. Your foot is slipping, and his love supports you. As your foot is slipping. Oh, my foot is slipping. God says, here's my love to keep your foot from slipping. And then here's one you know very well. Ready? You already know it. You don't even have to look at the screen. You don't even have to look at your verses. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his one and only son. And here's this perfect expression. Because God loved, he gave. This is the and we're going to look at this a little bit more just in just a few minutes. God's love is active. Because God loved, he gave his one and only son. So these are just three out of many that describe God's love, which is active, and it's directed, and it's personal. So I want to ask you something as we think about God's love, God's active love this morning. If you're a Christian this morning, let me ask Christians first. How many of you, even though you're a Christian, and even though you are with your family or other loved ones, how many of you this week have spoken, or in general, let me just make it more general, this week, have you ever spoken or reacted or acted towards someone you love out of anger, impatience, or frustration? Yes or no? Go ahead and say yes, because we all have. Okay, let's shorten the time. How many of you this week, even with someone you love, you reacted towards them in frustration or impatience, not with the kindness that should be between people who love one another or in a family? How many? How many of you today, in frustration, impatience, in shortness of temper, reacted or acted towards someone you loved in that way? Here's what you and I need to know. You and I need to know that in God's active love, he never acts towards you out of impatience, out of anger, out of frustration. It doesn't matter if you're failing for the 100th time in a particular area. God is not going to act towards you in impatience or unforgiveness. Or sometimes we love people, but we're angry at them because they've hurt us, right? So we know we have to forgive them, but not yet. We're kind of that way, aren't we, sometimes? We are. That's just the way that we are. So while I was thinking about this, we're all this way because we're imperfect and we're fallen. So while I was thinking of this, I was thinking of something that happened in my childhood. I don't want to shock you, but you know, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you know, pastors aren't perfect either. Missionaries aren't perfect either. Many years ago, you think I'm going to talk about me? I'm not going to talk about me. I'm going to talk about Dad, Nolan, who's in heaven right now. I'll tell you a story, although I'm part of the story. Years ago, when we were in Singapore, I think I must have been about five years old, about that age, in Singapore. And our family, you know, we didn't have a lot of finances. Hang on just a minute. Is it okay? And we bought, those of you who are car people, you don't know what that is because this is from 1964. This is a Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N. A Holden is an Australian car. I still remember, Dad and Mom bought a Holden station wagon. It was this color in Singapore. Oh, it may have been a Speed the Light car. I don't remember. So we bought a car. Dad bought a car. And I was 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, it was in Singapore. It was a dirt yard. And one day, shortly after the car was bought, I decided I'm going to wash the car for Mom and Dad. So remember, I'm 4 or 5 years old. But I'm 4 or 5. And when I wash a car, I would look at our ama. You know, in Singapore, we had an ama. And I would look at how she washed things and how she cleaned things. And the way that she cleaned things was she would get the water hose, like the cement that was outside underneath the church, because we lived in the church, and she would make it all wet. And then she would get her, let me see if I can make it show. Hang on. Wait just a minute. While we do this, I'm going to need to take off this just a minute. Okay. Let's see. How can I make it show? There we go. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. She would get, some of you don't know what this is, but if you're Filipino, you know exactly what this is, right? It's made of what? Rattan, right? And it's a rattan hand broom that they would get from the palm things that fell, and then you would strip it like that, and it was really rough, right? It's really hard. And our ama would get, she'd make everything wet, and then she would and she'd clean the cement with water. So what did I do? I made the car wet, and then I got the rattan hand broom, and I all over that brand new car. I know this is hard for you to believe, but my godly missionary pastor father did not respond to me out of love at all. Do you know it is still hard for me to wash my car today? As you can see, if you look at my car on the street, I got a spanking for it. Was he wrong? I think he was wrong. Did I scratch the car? You bet I scratched the car. I did it with a rattan hand broom. But I was thinking about that. We all react. We all respond wrongly at times. We just do. And because we're human, we carry that over into our relationship with God. We just do. We carry it over and we kind of think, God's like that. God must be like that, because we get frustrated with ourselves sometimes, don't we? We just think, oh, Lord, why? But God, again, you and I need to be assured, and you and I need to know, in God's active love, he never responds to you. He never reacts to you. Oh, come on, you did that again? Straighten up. God never does that. God's response to you, God's action towards you, God's reaction towards you, is always coming from love. Always, always, always. There is never any other motivation from God to you. Never. God's action towards you is always love, and you and I need to know that. Let me give you some examples now. Let's see. Here we go. Let me give you some examples. Psalm 25, 6 and 7. Ready? So here's some examples of God acting towards us according to his love. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Do you see that with me this morning? According to your love, remember me, for you are good. What God does for you, what God does to you, how God responds to you is always according to his love. Let me give you another one. Look with me. Psalm 109:26. Help me, O Lord, my God. Save me, what? In accordance with your love. So his action always fits with his love. Does that make sense? In accordance with your love. Here's another one for us. Oh, there's so many more. Rise up and help us. Redeem us. Why? Because of your unfailing love. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've been good. But because of his unfailing love. Now let me give you one more. And then we'll look at some other things. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me. Why? Because of your unfailing love. Not because you deserve saving. Not because you haven't sinned much this past week. Because of his unfailing love. So his motivation always is love. Now, because God is love, and because his love is active, and because his love is personally directed, what is his greatest and purest and strongest expression of love? What is it? You tell me. You know it. God's love is Jesus. God's love is Jesus. Let me give you some verses. This is his strongest expression. This is his purest expression of his active love. Look with me. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Here's another one. 1 John 3:16. This, we can remember this one, can't we? Because we know John 3:16. This is 1 John 3:16. By the way, this is one of the books that we'll be reading during our Lent campaign. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is how we know what love is. He did something. And here's one more from the life of Jesus. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now, what? Important word. What is this word? He now showed them the full extent of his love. And when we read that, he showed them the full extent of his love. It's everything that follows. He washed their feet. He prayed for them, the high priestly prayer that includes you and me. And he went to the cross bearing all of their sins and all of your sins and all of my sins. Jesus has shown us the full extent of his love because God's love is active. We're going to close this part of the service this morning with just a few more verses that the Lord put on my heart about God's love active in our lives that we need. And as we do that, I want to tell you a story about a man. I never met him, but I have heard about him all my life. And his name is Mr. Lewis, or Brother Lewis. And Dad knew him not well, because in the early years, Dad was not a Christian either. But Brother Lewis was a very close friend of my great-grandfather, Grandpa Stevens, you've heard me talk about, Dad's grandfather. And Brother Lewis didn't live in our neighborhood. He lived further down towards Florida, but our family, my ancestors lived in that area at that time. And Brother Lewis, Dad said, was one of the godliest men he had ever known. He was very godly, he was very simple, and he was very obedient, whatever the Holy Spirit told him to do, whatever God told him to do, he would always do it. And he rode a bicycle everywhere. You know, it was in those early days, country roads, sometimes dirt roads even, and Brother Lewis rode a bicycle wherever he went. Godly, godly man. And some of these stories may sound to you just fantastical, but here we are. He was riding his bicycle one time, and it was really hot, and he was really thirsty, and he stopped, and there was a little store there, and he went in to get something to drink because it was so hot, and he was so thirsty, and he had been riding his bicycle. And he said, and he looked up, and he looked out, and he said, Jesus was sitting on the back of his bicycle, but Jesus had not come into the store with him. And when he looked around, he realized, this is a bar. And Jesus hadn't walked in with him. And I'm not, there's no condemnation. This was his experience. And he turned around, didn't matter how thirsty he was. He turned around, he walked out, got on his bicycle and kept on going. Another time he had gone down to, in Panama City, which is in Florida. This was a church that in the early years supported mom and dad full-time in their missionary, in their missions life in Singapore. And it was one of the largest churches in Alabama, Florida, Georgia. And Brother Lewis went to that church. Huge church, huge church. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. And he came in and he just sat down in the congregation. And the pastor got up to speak. And the pastor stopped. And he said, people, I don't know what it is. I have never felt Jesus so strongly as I feel him at this moment. Do you feel? I've never felt him. And Brother Lewis looked, and there standing next to the pastor was Jesus. And then the pastor looked out, and he saw Brother Lewis out sitting in the congregation. He didn't know who he was. This was a huge church. And he looked at him, and he said, Brother, I believe you have a message for us from the Lord today, don't you? And Brother Lewis stood up and he said, yes. And he got up and he came and he gave God's message to them. Godly man. He went on in life, lived a godly life, spoke in a godly way. And much later in his life, when he was elderly, he was with his grandson. So here's what I was getting to. Here's the story, part of the story that I was going to get to. And he was with his grandson out in the Gulf of Mexico on a small boat, very far out, and a storm came up and capsized the boat, and they were in danger of drowning. And the grandson, who was much younger and stronger, was trying to help his grandfather, Brother Lewis, and they were trying to hold on to the boat, but it was impossible. They could not both make it. And Brother Lewis said to his grandson, son, I'm ready to go to heaven and meet Jesus. And you're not. Don't try to save me. Save yourself. And the grandson did that. And Brother Lewis drowned and went to heaven. Love in action. That's love. That's love. And the grandson had seen his grandfather. The grandson had heard his grandfather. But here was love expressed. And you and I, brothers and sisters, talk about being in a storm. We were in a storm, weren't we? Except we couldn't save ourselves. And Jesus said, I will save you. And I will save you by giving my life. This is the active love of God. Let me close with this. And as we close this part of the service, I'm going to read you some verses this morning. And I ask you, if you want to close your eyes, you can, or you can look at the screen. I ask you to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning and take in these verses about God's love for your situation. The first one we know so well. God showed his great love for us, showed us, right? By sending Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. And some of you this morning, you need to know God's love in salvation. Really, just in salvation. This is the greatest love God will show you. For some of you, Psalm 143, verse 12, in your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I'm your servant. There are some of you that are hearing the voice of the enemy. It doesn't even sound like the voice of the enemy. It sounds like your own voice. And your enemy is just in your ear all the time. What will you do? How can you make it? It's a barrage, and you're overcome by fear. Let the love of God come to you this morning and silence your enemies. Some of you this morning need direction. God, which way do I need to go? Exodus 15:13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Let the love of the Lord guide you in his ways and in his paths for you this morning. Some of you this morning, especially because of what's going on and the situation and all the uncertainty, you are battling depression and discouragement. You are in a pit. Let the love of the Lord deliver you from the depths of the grave. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Some of you this morning are shaky, and you feel like, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And your faith may be failing. You may be giving in to temptation or struggling. And you are just like, we read this earlier, when I said my foot is slipping, listen, this morning, God is not condemning you, and he's not saying, come on, you should be doing better. Instead, the Lord your God, your Father, is directing his love towards you. When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Amen. Amen. And then satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Some of you need to feel and know the love of the Lord in satisfying you and bringing into your life every good thing that the Lord has for you. And I want to close with this one this morning, although there are many more. Psalm 31:21. This one is for us this morning. Has COVID got you down? All of the regulations, all of the restrictions. Oh, God, when will this be over? As Ying and Jocelyn shared this morning, we thought it was getting over, and it's not. Here's the love of the Lord for you this morning. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. We're in a besieged city, aren't we? We're in a besieged city. I urge you, this verse, more than all the others, the Holy Spirit really put on my heart. Let the love of the Lord that he directs to your heart this morning lift you up and bring praise into your life again this morning. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I know we've gone, I had been stopping earlier, but this morning I felt we've still got time for our Zoom rooms. I felt this morning we needed the love of the Lord directed towards us. I'm going to pray for us right now. We're going to pray for yourself. And ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you this morning, especially which one of these you need to receive as the Lord. Just, if you can, imagine the Lord directing his love to you for these circumstances and these situations this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning. Your love is active. Your love is personal. Your love is directed. Would you direct your love to your people this day? In Jesus' name, Lord, direct your love in every area of need. Lord, direct your love to every heart. Lord, direct your love this morning to Chris, where he is, as he's going through this time again with cancer. Direct your love to Rainbow and Joseph. Direct your love to Stella. Lord, to others this morning, direct your love to Rosalind. Lord, direct your love to Pedro, where he still is in Equatorial Guinea and he's not been able to get back. Lord, direct your love, we pray. Direct your love to your people this day. for you love us. And your love is active and at work in our lives, in every one of these situations. Lord, direct your love to your people this morning who are discouraged, who are struggling with depression and fear. Direct your love this day. Stop the voice of the enemy. Put our feet on your pathway. Lead us in your ways. We thank you, O God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So, beloved, we're going to go from here into our Zoom rooms. I urge you and I encourage you, receive the love of the Lord. Get into his word. Let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you because his love is directed to you. God bless you. We're going to keep on praying for you this week. Stay in touch. Again, I want to remind you, we've got these guides, these study guides that we are so happy to share with you. And just get in touch with us. And now we're going to let you give us just a minute or two to get to switch over into our Zoom rooms in Taglish, in English, in Chinese. Don't forget, but we're going to remind you that our Lent reading, the Seven I Am's, begins this Wednesday. God bless you. Be surrounded in the love of the Lord. Amen. Amen.